you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He's Robbie the Fire Bernstein. We are recording our second episode on the same day. We're not just wearing the same clothes as we were on the last episode, but we could be. So
I changed hats.
Rob's in a new hat. That's basically a new outfit for Rob. That's as good as you could possibly hope. Like, you bring Rob to meet your parents, you're like, could you put on a different hat? That's all. I know you're not going to shower, but like, could you at least throw a different hat on? All right, Rob, you got gigs coming up this weekend. Let the people know where they can find you.
Absolutely. This Saturday in Perryville, Maryland, Fan owns a brewery out there, Fifth Street Brewing. They've got incredible beers, and I got a sick lineup of comics. Myself, Menu and Heart, BK Chris, Justin Silver are going to be hell of a night.
Hell yeah. And then me and Rob in November 25th and 26th, we will both be at Poughkeepsie Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie, New York. Come on out to that. The ticket links are up at my website, Comic Dave Smith. Let's make sure we sell some tickets there. I am not confident about how we do in that market. So come on out. We always sell out wherever we go, but I don't know.
Yeah,
about
we've yet not to sell out.
That is true, but I don't know, something about these smaller markets. I get worried, you know, but anyway, come on out.
Poughkeepsie, I think people are going to travel. We haven't done anything in the New York area in like 2 years.
Stop. See, you're overselling it now. You're like, we're ahead in the polls. You don't even need a vote. I'm plugging the gig and I'm like, guys, I really need you to get tickets.
No, I'm saying,
don't even bother. We're fine.
I know, I'm saying they're going to travel and it's going to sell out. So don't think that you can wait to get your tickets.
Well done.
Because that's how well in demand we are.
There we go. Very well done, Rob. Actually, you better get them now, guys. I'm going to go check after the show. It's probably sold out already. So you better get tickets now if you want to see. And then that could still backfire. You'd go, probably don't even bother at this point because you blew it. No, seriously, come see us in Poughkeepsie. Then New Year's Eve, I got shows I'm co-headlining with the great Louis J. Gomez in the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, December 31st, doing some New Year's Eve shows out there. So that is that's going to be awesome as well. Oh, yes. And of course, if you don't already, go subscribe over at gasdigitalnetwork.com. That's how you can really help us out if you love the show. If you love the show, you've been listening for years and you haven't subscribed yet, just come on, go do that. You get access to the entire archive on demand, all the podcasts we've ever done for years and years and years, coming up on 1,000 episodes. Plus, you get access to all the other great shows on the network. So go, definitely go do that. Support this network. That's kind of our protection. You know, if the cancel nonsense ever comes for us, that we have Gas Digital Network. So it's very important that we support that. Oh, and also we're on Rumble now. Our wonderful producer Brian just got us on Rumble, Part of the Problem. Go check us out over there if you would like. There's one more option for where to consume this life-changing show, and also one more layer of protection. So sorry, Rob, what were you saying?
Oh, I messed up the name. It's Fifth Company Brewing.
Fifth Company Brewing. What did you say?
Cool. Fifth Street, because that was where we did the show in Reno, which was a brewery, something street.
It'd be fucked up if there was another Fifth Street brewing down there and then just like a bunch of people showed up to that and they were like, this show sucks. Yes, we'll definitely go check out Rob at that show with our guys, BK Chris, Justin Silver. Okay, so there's a video that's going viral that I wanted to talk about on the show and then kind of get into a broader conversation about some of this stuff. So this is, I'm blanking on her name. We'll see it up here. A Canadian actress. I didn't know who she was. Did you know who she was, Rob?
Never heard of her.
I'm very removed, though, from like who are popular actresses. I don't know how famous this chick is.
I just found out there's a creature named Lizzo. I hadn't even heard of it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I wasn't unaware of the new species.
I learned about this on Legion of Skanks. And by the way, it's one of the most frustrating moments I've ever had on Legion of Skanks. So listen to Jay be like, I mean, she's got a pretty face, but she's a big girl. And you're like, wait, what? Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. Jennifer Gibson. So this is a video that she put out that's going viral. Let's just watch the video.
Do we know what she was in first for context? Like, is she even famous or like this is?
Well, let's see. She was in porn. It's telling me here. No, I'm
that would make sense. That up. Then I would know her.
I don't know. I'm probably Rob's like, no. She wasn't. I've seen all the porn. She wasn't in there. Well, I don't know. We can check that out in a second, but let's play the video. It's the point isn't really what movie she's been in.
Well, this is not a video I want to make. And it's kind of hard to make because as I'm watching myself, I see what I'm going to say, which is I have been diagnosed with Bell's palsy, which is paralysis on one side of the face. For me, it's this side here, the left, obviously. So I got it about 2 weeks after getting my vaccine, and I had a rough go with the vaccine, and I guess still am, but I have to say that I would do it again because it's what we have to do to see people. So I don't know why I'm making this video, but here's my weird smile.
Okay. That's a very disturbing video, and for several reasons, but I guess the first thing that just jumps out at you when you see this
is auditioning to play Two-Face.
This is like, she nailed it, and you will be in the next Batman movie. Oh, but look, it's very sad. Sad season, but she's tearing up, clearly emotional. I can't try to imagine for a second what that must be like. Must be like fucking oof. But what? I don't know what else to say it than what a cult mentality. Like, you are in a cult if you give yourself Bell's palsy from a vaccine. And your response is, I would do it again because this is what we have to do to avoid COVID, something that you certainly have like an overwhelming chance of not even getting that sick from, let alone your chance of like, it was, I don't know. I mean, I remember, I know that with the older, more deadly variants, they would say it was under a 1% chance that you'd be hospitalized, and that was not controlling for anything, like controlling for age or health or anything like that. So if you're like this woman, I don't know how old she is, but she's not old, and if she doesn't have like crazy other health conditions, it probably a substantially less than 1% chance of being hospitalized. Chance of death is like almost nothing, but you would do this again because this is what we have to do. This is what we do. This is what you have to do if you want to see people. There's something sickening about that. It's a real sick thing about human beings. And human beings are capable of so much like amazing and beautiful shit. But one of the saddest things about human beings is that they can be mentally captured by other human beings who have evil intentions. You know what I mean? Like, that's from like a cult, from even just an abusive relationship, like abusive parents or an abusive spouse, to a cult, to like an authoritarian regime that people can prey on other humans and use their like get inside their head and take them over and convince them that this person who doesn't have their best interest at heart is like that they must be subservient to them. And to hear someone say this as you're watching her facial paralysis and go, I would do this again. I would still do this. Okay, we're having a little bit of technical problems here, but hopefully they're all figured out and we can move forward. Anyway, we're just saying, it's just so sad to see someone so captured by ideology and false ideology at that, to suffer such horrible consequences and still be saying that they would do it again. Very bizarre.
It's bizarre. The standing behind yourself in line. It's that now that you've been tormented by your decision, you don't want to admit fault in it. Like you're now more invested in the bad decision. So there has to have been a good reason for it. It can't just be that somebody convinced you to do something that wasn't in your best interest.
So a sunk cost fallacy of some kind where you've, and I think this is true. You know, the sunk cost fallacy is kind of like I guess tends to be an economic thing, but it's really true psychologically. It's very hard for people who made their entire identity for 2.5 years being that, like, we must do the right thing by COVID and follow the science and man, and like getting off on the, like, I'm so much better than these like right-wingers who aren't doing the responsible thing. And meanwhile, making these enormous sacrifices in your life, giving up your life for years. And then, you know, to do all of that, it's like a very painful thing to admit that you were wrong about that. I don't know if you remember, I've mentioned this before on the show, but I saw this, I watched this documentary on abortion. It was very much like from the pro-choice position. And there was this abortionist, this abortion doctor, this lady who was like, had been an abortion doctor for like 25 years or something like that. And she was talking and she's like, look, there's no moral issue with abortion. Like, it's not a baby. It's just a fetus, blah, blah, blah. There's no moral issue with it. And that it's completely okay to get an abortion. And I remember just thinking like, yeah, you better feel that way. Like, you better feel that way, because the alternative is like that you're a serial baby murderer. So I just say, however you feel about abortion, you can understand my point that it's just like, yeah, you're very, at that point, very incentivized to convince yourself that it's much easier emotionally for you to feel that way than it is to go, oh my God, what have I been doing? And so you just, it's kind of a similar type of thing.
Yeah. And with this lady, if she interacted with anyone like me, they were convinced I was the world's biggest asshole. You can't like undo that in your mind. You can't then go back and go, oh, I was the asshole.
It's possible. I mean, some people do it, but it is very hard, and it's really not the majority of people. It's been an interesting thing throughout COVID, though, to even see, like, you know, states cities, New York City, say, for example, to see them kind of like where there's no more of these rules. They just don't exist. And I'll say, in general, I think barring like another very deadly wave of COVID, which I think is unlikely, it seems like it's pretty much over. Like people kind of aren't really going back to any of these draconian restrictions, but it's very bizarre to see like New York City just stop. They're just not doing it anymore. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Yo Delta. If you are a responsible adult over the age of 21, living in states where Delta 8 is legal, we got to tell you about YoDelta.com. They are the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. They have vapes and gummies. Now, by the way, this is not CBD. This stuff gets you high, so know that going in. I will tell you, all of my friends who are very into getting high all rave about this stuff. So go check it out, yodelta.com. You can stock up on Delta 8 THC. Delta 8 is found in hemp, and it can legally be shipped to various states. And again, this does get you high. Yodelta.com. You can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all of your needs. I can tell you this stuff really works. I have talked to the experts in the field, which by experts, I mean Lewis and Jay. They really are experts. YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. When you go there, use the promo code GAS. That will get you 25% off your entire order. One more time, YoDelta.com, promo code GAS, the official Delta 8 sponsor for the Gas Digital Network. All right, let's get back into the show. You know, it's one of the things I was talking about with Rogan when I was on the other day, that it's like, it's pretty crazy how much heat he got for his COVID takes and how much heat me and him got. Like, there were several like segments where, when I was on, where they went like super viral and were condemned by all of the establishment people, you know, up to Fauci and Biden and, you know, and now looking back at it, it's just like, we're completely vindicated, completely proven right about all of this stuff. And there's no one ever comes out and addresses that, you know, no one ever like, but it's very weird to see, you know, I mean, you remember talking about the vaccine passport in New York City, when our city, the city that me and you met each other in, the city I'm from, that we started, you know, together and we're doing stand-up comedy in for years and years, just went, we're not full citizens with full rights anymore. You can't go to a restaurant or a sporting event or, you know, whatever. And then to just stop. Never an apology, never an admission this was wrong, never even a reason for why we're stopping. Just, we're not doing it anymore. So it's very bizarre to find the rationalization for people to walk out of this corner that they've been painted into, you know, to find a way to not do it. But you would think, like, having Bell's palsy, like, that's not enough. That's not enough for you to go, shit, I really regret doing this. You're making a video to what? Show us this and then go, but we had to do it. We had to. I mean, it really is so cult-like to see this shit.
Well, for her, I mean, she works somewhat in Hollywood. Maybe she climbs the ranks now because she really proved her allegiance to the machine.
Yeah, I think even in Hollywood, they're like, you're going to have to fix your face. You're probably going to give it some time. But I guess the other thing that we kind of got to address, which maybe I'll admit, I think while I've been, look, I think I've been good on the policy of this shit from basically the beginning of COVID. But I will acknowledge, I think you were probably a little out ahead of me on this stuff, Rob. And I was a little bit skeptical about the idea that there were serious or in high numbers negative health repercussions, negative adverse effects from the vaccine. But it is getting really hard to avoid at this point. It's just getting really hard to avoid. And you just see all over the place articles about, you know, the excess death rates going up, about, you know, these heart problems in young, healthy people. They're trying to like say it's everything else. You know, it's climate change. That's why there's so many of these problems. And look, the truth is we're really going to find out over the next 5 to 10 years. We really don't know yet. But we ran an experiment here where we vaccinated hundreds of millions, maybe over billions, I don't know, but at least hundreds of millions of people with these mRNA vaccines that had never been used before. And like, holy shit, actually looking at the prospect that there is in any way really increased negative health outcomes, holy shit. You know, I'll tell you, sorry, go ahead.
No, to me, the story from the beginning was always, there was very little evidence, if any, to the utility of the vaccine or an extreme danger to COVID. And it was very clear that they were lying. The side effects claim was a little bit far-fetched. Now, I think the one side effect that we know for sure, it's actually 42% of women have said that they have an increase like in their menstruation cycle, which they're still saying is temporary, which, of course, under what basis are you declaring this temporary? And then also, if you're recommending that people get boosters every year, so is that still temporary?
Right.
And if you're only noticing this because that's very noticeable, I mean, you experience your period every month if you're a lady, or you have hemorrhoids like me. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is that's something part of your body cycle you're noticing every month. So it would seem to me like if there were issues with your body, like they were happening silently. So if this one's indicative, like what else could be occurring? But that's a what else. That not to say that something else is occurring. I think it's going to be a while if we ever even see the story, because it will be the all-cause mortality. But what they'll be able to claim is that this is how dangerous COVID really was. And that, look, it actually shifted the makeup of human beings, that all these other things happened, or that it was firstly, government's responsible for the response to COVID. So if there were more misdiagnoses and more stress and more missed jobs because of the response than the virus, they don't get to like, that's their fault. They're already trying to pivot from that a lot of this is the response to, well, yeah, you're at fault for that. We could have just stayed open. All of this was a choice. Any of those things are a choice. It's going to be interesting to see if we end up documenting a lot of harmful side effects. By the way, already long COVID, they walked away from that. That was like their last straw well, we have to prevent long COVID. And then everyone's like, yeah, long COVID seems to just be people with depression. It seems to be people that were so committed to staying home, they ruined their lives and are depressed.
Yeah. There's a bunch of shit here, right? With the long COVID stuff, there is some evidence, you know, that people who had very, very severe bouts with COVID, like, you know, were hospitalized and got pneumonia in the wake of their COVID, that have some like permanent lung damage, like, you know, people who get very bad pneumonia can have that. But this thing where they're talking about people who have like mild cases of COVID and then have long COVID, there is zero scientific evidence that this is a real thing. And it turns out that a lot of this is just psychosomatic. Like it's a lot of these things are just people who are, you know, it's sad. It's still a very sad thing. And it's a whole different medical issue that might need to be diagnosed. But like you said, whether it's depression or paranoia or these other things, but there's no real medical evidence that it's in any way connected. But with the vaccine stuff, you know, from the beginning, my take on it was basically that, obviously, first and foremost, that the mandates were just completely fucked up and that it was wrong to force a pharmaceutical product on people or to force a medical procedure on people and to strip them of their freedom or to impose that they lose their job over this was horrible. And it was very obvious pretty early on that the vaccines were sold based on lies, that they completely oversold what they could do for you, you know? So that's kind of where I was for a long time. Like, it's just like, look, they were sold based on lies and the mandates are real fucked up. I was really not convinced of like the, there's these negative effects. Although obviously there were in some cases, but you're like, but how, you know, how small are we talking about? That wasn't clear to me at all. At this point, I'm just saying, and I encourage people to go do your own research, but there's a lot of evidence at this point that whatever the numbers are, you know, however common it is, that there are real negative health outcomes associated with the vaccine, and that it's really starting to look more and more, which is really just, it's sad. As much as I'm against this shit, I don't take any pleasure in being proven right or being on, you know, on the side that looks better now, because it sucks, because so many people got this, and particularly because so many people were coerced into getting it. But it seems pretty goddamn clear that you're actually more susceptible to COVID after being vaccinated after a certain amount of time, you know, whether that's 6 months or 12 months or whatever. But the fact is that if you're looking at some of these studies, that the people, you know, like if you just got two shots in early 2021 right now versus someone like me or you who didn't get to any shots, they're actually much more susceptible to COVID than we are. It's something like double the rate. Like it's very clear. And that is just like, it's like, holy shit. So not like, what an epic failure. Not only did you mandate the vaccine, not only did you sell it based on lies, not only does it have like adverse health effects, but it actually is counterproductive at the thing that it was supposed to be aimed toward doing, which was preventing COVID. It's just horrible. And of course, there, you know, as we've talked about many times before on the show, there they play this kind of like heads I win, tails you lose game, where that's just proof that you need another booster and another booster and another booster. So they won't kind of like back down from this and ever go, maybe we should just rethink this whole thing.
I'm personally not as up on COVID. Like when COVID was going on, I mean, I was doing my homework because I could tell that they were lying to me, and everywhere I was going, people were either telling me I was an idiot or they're telling me I wasn't allowed in their business. So I was just fascinated by it. Like I used to be obsessed with the Fed because I was like, this is the greatest con movie of all time. COVID became that, where it's like, I know that they're lying. And then it became like, can I break it down? I find now no one really cares about it. And I don't think there's like when I read the Alex Berenson articles, I like skim them. I'm not as motivated to like understand every point, but I think that there's an interesting wheel turning and that there's more evidence coming out that there may be harm from the vaccines. I don't think that there's a smoking gun yet. And from what I watched of COVID, of how good the government was at not providing necessary evidence to actually, equate the risk reward of vaccinated versus unvaccinated, and the kind of record keeping that they're actually doing, and the kind of studies that they could be doing to understand the harmful effects and the way VAERS works. I just think that they're going to do a good job of keeping a lid on that story, and that it's going to be a while before we ever actually find out, or if there ever is even a smoking gun.
Yeah, you might be right about that. That's all very good points. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Moink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef, lamb, pasteurized pork, chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing that you're helping family farms stay financially independent. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Choose from ribeyes to chicken breasts, pork chops to salmon fillets, and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. I got to tell you, I've tried this stuff. It is delicious. Just delicious. And it's really nice to like know that you're not getting the stuff at the supermarkets with all types of crap in it that you don't know what it is. You're getting stuff right from family farms. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. And the Ring doorbell founder, Jamie Siminoff, jumped at the chance to invest with Moink. You got to go check this out. Keep American farmers going by signing up at moinkbox.com/POTP right now. And listeners of this show get free filet mignon in every order for a full year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you will ever taste for a limited time only. Go to moinkbox.com/POTP. That's moinkbox.com/POTP. moinkbox.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so speaking of the way governments, or in this case, I suppose private companies acting on behalf of governments, keep a lid on things. This was very interesting. I saw there's this, I don't know if you've seen this, Rob, but there's this video, this YouTube video that was put out. Let's play the video. And then I want to discuss why I find this particularly interesting, but it's also just a fun video to watch. So let's play this this video that was just put out the other day, documenting some thoughts of some Democratic leaders about elections and democracy.
All in agreement that it is incorrect to say the 2020 election was stolen. What about the 2016 election?
Look. I'm not gonna
go back into history.
It was a stolen election.
It was stolen.
Stolen. He's an illegitimate president. He's an illegitimate president.
You know, pretending to be president.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he didn't.
One third of Clinton supporters say Trump election is not legitimate.
I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win.
You are absolutely right.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
The 2016 election was stolen.
Got a nicer way to say that?
Say Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
A little louder, please.
Russia hacked our election. That was a 9/11 scale event.
This was a kind of cyber 9/11. American institutions. 9/11. Yes.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia, of course, hacked our election here.
Half of Clinton's voters believe the conspiracy theory that Russia hacked Election Day votes.
We know that they were into voting rolls.
Actual interference with the elections themselves.
We know it happened.
Despite no credible evidence, 67% of Democrats believe Russia tampered with vote tallies.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Russia hacked our election.
The Russians hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russian hacking of our election.
Hacking of our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
A stolen election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
The universal assessment that Russia hacked our election in 2016.
Foreign governments hacked our elections.
Most young Americans consider Donald Trump an illegitimate president. Illegitimate president.
He's an illegitimate president.
Why is he illegitimate? He just won an election.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind. That's it.
I absolutely agree.
Experts urge Clinton camp to challenge election results.
We will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
He's an illegitimate president.
Russia hacked our election.
Russians hacking our election.
Hacked our election.
Russia hacking our election.
I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president.
Trump is an illegitimate president who stole the election.
He is not a president.
He's illegitimate. And my biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Hillary Clinton voters call to overturn election results.
More than 4 million people have already signed a petition on change.org calling for the electors of the Electoral College to, quote, ignore their states' votes and cast their ballots for Secretary Clinton.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016.
We are the victims of a bloodless coup.
He didn't win the general election.
Yo, Electoral College, make Hillary Clinton president, period.
Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
Illegitimate president.
Dems don't accept Trump as a legitimate president.
This wasn't on the level.
This election was not on the level.
I don't think he's a legitimate president.
Our election wasn't legit!
He got his victory from cheating.
Yes, Trump cheated.
Trump cheated the 2016 election.
He's an illegitimate president.
No validity, no credibility.
And because of that,
anger at what some see as an illegitimate president.
Donald Trump has got to go.
It will not be a peaceful change of power.
A number of incidents turned violent. Protesters hurled trash cans, flash bombs, and objects at police.
Several officers injured.
Protesters threw rocks and smashed windows, leading to more confrontations, injuries, and arrests. Stop!
The chaotic scene just blocks outside the secure area of the inauguration.
If denying election results is extreme now,
yeah. Why would let's be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous.
All right. So this was a video put out by TK News. I don't know anything about that organization, but they made this video. So there's a few things that are really interesting about this. And this video, of course, as you guys just saw or heard, however you consume the podcast, was what? Was it? It was quoting the words of, the president of the United States, the previous Democratic candidate, elected officials, leaders of foreign countries, celebrities, people in the corporate press, all of this. And they're all saying the exact same thing. And it's very interesting how they use the exact same term. You know, we've talked about this a lot on the show. This is like one of their tactics. They use these terms and repeat these terms over and over and over again. And the term that they use is a particularly, it's brilliant in how devious it is that they go hacked the election, because they know what they're saying when they know what they're doing when they say that, even, when it really comes down to it, the evidence of Russian interference in the election is, like they play some Facebook ads or some shit like that. It's like really, but when you say hacked the election, what does that conjure up in your mind? You're not thinking, oh, they tried to influence people to vote one way or the other. When you say hacked an election, you're thinking, oh, you mean they hacked into voting machines and flipped votes from one side to the other, which, by the way, if really pressed, all of these people would admit there is no evidence at all that that ever happened. Just didn't happen. But over and over again, them saying Trump, Russia hacked the election. Trump is an illegitimate president. He stole the election, all this stuff. So this was the game, as people might recall, for a long time. So just keep this in mind when you see all of the hysteria about Donald Trump's reaction to the 2020 election and what's going on right now. Any other thoughts on any of that, Rob?
Yeah, I do. I hate to. It's a little bit nuanced. So I actually don't remember when they were saying that the election was hacked. I do remember when they were saying that it was illegitimate, and that effort was very successful because it led to the Russia collusion investigation, mm-hmm. which then undermined Trump's candidacy, and that basically ruined him. I mean, that literally ruined
his presidency.
Him. Yeah. And so if you look at the difference of the two, of that, when the Democrats claim it, they get to shut down a presidency, versus when Donald Trump claims it, it's the most evil thing ever.
He's kicked off Twitter and we don't really hear about it. Yeah.
There is a distinction in the, like, so yes, there obviously is. Look at the way the Democrats were treated when they made the claim. It was treated as factual, and it undermined the presidency in a way that was essentially treasonous. First, the way Donald Trump, when he made a similar claim, was then, you know, his people are locked up in jail and they're called traitors. I got to be honest. I mean, even in that video, though, there was a lot of the, hey, the election's illegitimate because Russia influenced the election, which was a bold claim. They're mixing that in along with the hacking claims. I don't remember off top of my head a lot of hacking claims.
Well, you just saw it. I mean, there
I know, but I'm saying that. But that looks like that was Hillary at like a private function. So they're mixing together the illegitimate claim with the hacking claim. I don't think that there was as coordinated of an effort to make it seem as though Russia was hacking machine, like, and I understand what you're saying, that they're not actually claiming that the machines were hacked. They're just trying to use a poetic version.
Yes. They just use that term over and over again. Now here's the bigger story. Okay. And here's why I even bring this video up. I wouldn't have played it just on the montage. Here's where the rubber really meets the road. What's interesting, YouTube demonetized this video. That's what I find really interesting, that YouTube actually demonetized a video that is, there's almost no commentary to the video. It's just a montage of incredibly powerful people reminding you what they said. Now, even to your point, Rob, it's like, yes, there are some people saying hack the election and other people saying the election's illegitimate. I mean, feel how you feel about that. But that this video actually got demonetized by YouTube really says something to me. That really lets you know. It's like, it's just more, one more mask off moment where you're like, oh yeah, that's the game here. That's the game.
They pull a very weird move, and it's the same thing as like Libs of TikTok. Libs of TikTok, it's not fabricating evidence. It's just showcasing real things that are taking place. But for some reason they go, well, the fact that you're focusing on it, why are you focusing on it? Well, I'm just exposing something that actually exists. It goes back to even the Russian interference. It was real information. It's not that someone created fake information. It was that it became through illegitimate means. There's something like very strange that they do, that it's like, even when you're playing fair and you're bringing real information, and you're just highlighting it, which is what they're doing here. It's literally just highlighting real information. Even that, like, I mean, that just shows the degree of censorship where it's like,
Yes. And that clearly it's only in one direction that they have a problem with people highlighting this information. It's clearly a standard that one side has to bear that the other one doesn't, which should be pretty obvious to most people at this point. But yeah, you know, I was saying the other day on Rogan about the Libs of TikTok came up, and I did mention that. I go, look, all they're doing is showing you that this is going on. Now, it is fair to say that there's some information that you don't get from those type of videos. Like, say, the Libs of TikTok, for example, when they show these crazy teachers, you know, like the insane, mentally ill, woke teachers who are like, you know, whatever, the crazy Libs of TikTok videos, they're like, I'm gonna turn your kid gay or whatever the fuck they're saying, you know. Now it does, I'm the type of person, and the way my mind works is that I don't just look at that and go, haha, proof that this is what public school is, even though that kind of is, you know, I don't know, confirming my anti-government bias or whatever. But I always try to be skeptical, and you go, okay, that's out there. How many teachers are actually this? You know what I mean? What percentage of school, what districts is this happening in? Like, try to think about like what, and you don't know, you know, it's like, I don't really know,
but
they're still showing that this does exist. And they've shown enough videos of it that you're like, no matter what, you know, no matter how prevalent this is, the fact that this exists at all is a huge fucking problem. You know what I mean? But so there, it's fair to say that there's a lot of these things that like don't show the entire picture, and at times can even give you a, you know, a skewed perception of reality. You know, you see, right, it's a big thing right now to see videos of like crazy crimes that are happening in cities across the country that they blow up and go viral on social media. Now that can give you a little bit of a distorted view. You know, I see them all the time about New York City. I'm in the city a lot. The areas that are safe are still relatively safe, although crime is up even in those areas. And then it's like always with violent crime in cities, they tend to be located to specific areas that are high crime. But it's still legitimate to show those videos, to show people what's going on. And they are, like, there are rising crime rates. I mean, I think crime is down a little bit this year from last year, but it's nowhere near recovered to the pre-2020 levels in most major cities across the country, certainly in New York City. And so, you know, you're just like, no, well, look, I mean, it is legitimate to show this shit. It's newsworthy, and you can't be, you know, responsible for anyone who might draw false conclusions from the actual information that you're giving them.
I think more than false conclusions, like take the tranny story time, show my pussy the kid hours.
Mm-hmm.
So the story before that from the traditional media was that that's not really happening. You're making that up. That's not really a thing until you see footage of it. And then once you see footage of it, then it goes, well, why isn't there reporting about how often is this actually taking place? Because don't tell me it's not taking place. Now we've got at least an interesting story of how often is it taking place? Who decided this was a good idea? Who's pushing it? Who's funding it? Who's organizing it? Right. And then it's the exact same thing when you got teachers with, like, you know, the don't say, firstly, there was never a don't say gay bill. That wasn't the language of it. It was, let's not teach kids sexual nature. Well, there's no agenda for that. But then I see on Libs of TikTok, clearly kindergarten teachers with an agenda who are stating openly that there is an agenda. So now it's like, well, why isn't there coverage that there clearly are teachers that have a agenda to teach kids about sexual issues and try and orient them towards, I'll put in a positive term, being more accepting of you know, gay, whatever. But it's like, well, now there's clearly a story here. So why aren't you reporting? Don't just tell me, hey, don't look at this. And why are you interested in that? And no, this isn't a thing. And you're only focusing it on your bigoted. Now there clearly is a tide of this happening. Why aren't you reporting on why it's happening or how often it's happening?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's how it starts. Like, oh, this is made up. This isn't happening at all. And then you're like, okay, well, at this point, I've seen whatever, 75 videos of it happening. Now, okay, we're a country of 330 million people. It's a big country. The 75 videos I've seen in my monkey brain play maybe a disproportionate role to what's actually happening out there. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. My kids don't go to public school and they're not going to. And like, I'm not out in public school. So I don't fucking know exactly, you know? But yes, as you point out, it's like, okay, well, we've already crossed one line of this isn't happening. That's bullshit. You know what I mean? Clearly it is happening. So now, right, it raises these next questions. Okay, this happening once is way too much. How the fuck do we shut this down? Why is this happening? How prevalent is this? And who the fuck in their right mind is like not only accepting of this, but giving it the green light? And you'd be insane to not ask all of those questions. So I'd be like, okay, so this is obviously the next step now. Now, if this really isn't prevalent and it really is like isolated examples, you know, okay, fine. But then if that's the case, then do some solid reporting to demonstrate that. But instead, what do? The same as what happened with YouTube here. They demonize libs of TikTok. They ban them. They fucking, you know, suspend them from Twitter. They write pieces in the Washington Post doxing them and going after the chick who runs it. It's like, this is fucking madness. And then that only really for people who are honest and paying attention, that only makes their case seem more compelling.
I mean, how big of a deal did they make out of Charlottesville? Charlottesville, I mean, how many Nazis actually exist in the country trying to have a peaceful rally? And they made that a talking point for 6 years, that there's actually a giant cabal of racists out there that just quietly want to take over the USA. So now I'm seeing multiple videos all the time that for some reason someone thinks it's a good idea. And by the way, in the New York Post busted that there was like a $200,000 budget in New York City for the Drag Time Story Hour. Well, this is clearly some sort of a movement towards sexualizing kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that there should be equal, if not more, outrage for that about the 500 Nazis. So what the fuck? Like, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
at,
these are.
Look at the outrage for Charlottesville. We're talking about sexual activities in front of kids with weird adults. I don't understand it. I don't understand why anyone would think it's a good idea for their kids. I don't understand why there isn't more outrage for it. But like, there could be more reporting and outrage.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know. And the difference obviously here is that these are people in like positions of power in government jobs and being pushed on children. It's just, you know, but like, yeah, like you said, I mean, there was just another Daily Beast article. We just got another article attacking me and the Mises Caucus and Tom Woods and all these people as the Daily Beast, I think. And that's the thing again, they go, they're alt-right. You know, it's like they're still trying to milk this 2017 rally with a couple hundred people for all it's worth. The closest connection you could make is that I've talked to some of those people. Like that's still like, they're just trying to like, with no perspective of like, how prevalent is this? What, not asking any of the questions that we're asking, you know, as you just pointed out, but it's just like, it happened, they're bad. And that's that. But yeah, at the same time, those same people who do that will come down on anyone who's talking about grooming or shit like this. Like, oh my God, you're making up so much. But this is the problem, guys. We got social media. We got cameras. And now there's all of these people sharing all of this shit. And the crazy thing about libs of TikTok is like, it's not even like they're going undercover and busting these people. They're just sharing you those people's videos that they're making. At least everything I've seen from libs of TikTok is just them showing you like this teacher being like, the parents said they didn't want me talking to their kid about being gay, but hello, parents are gone now. Time to make the kids gay or whatever the fuck, you know? And it's like, it's just bizarre, really creepy shit that at the very least you're like, we should get to the bottom of. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's anything interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, you got to go check out BetterHelp. I've said it a bunch of times before, but I'm a big believer in therapy. I've been in therapy in the past and it's really helped me. I know a lot of other people who it's helped as well. Whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional counseling. Financial aid is available and it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to switch counselors if you need to. You can send a message to your counselor at any time. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So it's the perfect way to do therapy if you're busy and if you don't want to go through the commitment of like going into an office and you don't have to go back to sitting in an uncomfortable waiting room in the future. You can just do it this way. It's much more convenient. So go to betterhelp.com/problem. You can join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. They have so many people using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp.com/problem. That's where you got to go. BetterHelp.com/problem. That'll get you 10% off your first month. One more time, BetterHelp.com/problem for 10% off your first month. All right, let's get back into the show. Anyway, this video specifically. So evidently what I just heard, so earlier today it was demonetized. They just said that they that Twitter admitted they made a mistake, or is YouTube, sorry, admitted they made a mistake. But then the guys are saying that now there's another problem with the re-uploaded version of this video. So we'll see. There was a lot of pushback about them demonetizing this video, and so it looks like they backed down, which is another interesting lesson to take out of that. Oh yeah, sometimes they will back down off these things if there's enough of an uproar, and they also just look so transparently bad when doing it. Propaganda kind of has to be at least plausible, otherwise it has a lot of trouble succeeding.
I've experienced quite a few YouTube strikes. I actually won my first plea against them. Brian, you might just want to edit this, but I'll say it anyways. Sorry. In broad strokes, this is how nefarious the way that they edit your content is. First is, you're not allowed to question the official COVID policy of the WHO and other organizations. That's question. That's not make statements, which would mean that you would have to be a policy expert in every statement that those organizations made. That if you were confused about something and asking a question, you would have to know everything that was stated to know that you were even questioning a policy. So by one, there's no one on planet Earth that can live by that standard. Then what they do is they just link to you your entire episode. So if you put out 45, an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours worth of content, they go, we believe that some of your content may have violated our policy. The policy being that you're not allowed to question. So firstly, forget the censorship of that you're not even allowed to question policy. The fact that they won't even tell you what specifically was in violation. So what I do every single time is I go, you link me 50 minutes of info. Can you please tell me what specifically violated the policy? And then they just go, well, after carefully reviewing it, we still say that you violated our policy. Well, what violated your policy? If you carefully reviewed this, can't you tell me what specifically I said? And that's because they don't want to take ownership of that there was any specific, they don't want to tell you what specifically. In this case, I finally actually told them, hey, I only talked about COVID once, and it was in regards to this Wall Street Journal article. And they go, oh, we made mistakes. But it's like they never will actually make a bold statement of,
like, you said this and this is false, or you said this.
Because they wouldn't want to have the responsibility of actually evaluating what was said.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, as we know, the craziness is that in the other direction, you could say whatever the fuck you want to in support of the regime. I remember, I think I might've mentioned this on the show, but I remember being on a panel on a Kennedy show, on Kennedy show. Kennedy is the shit, by the way. Go check out her show. And it's like all these Fox News shows where they have they have me, and then they have a Democrat and a Republican on the panel. And I remember the Democrat said, this is like months ago, but I remember the Democratic woman just said, she goes, look, we all know that if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get very sick from COVID and you're not going to die. And this wasn't 2 years ago. You know what I mean? This is just like a few months ago. And I remember just almost being blown away, by being that must be nice. That must be nice to just be you don't even have to worry about because when I'm on there, you got to be so concerned about minding your P's and Q's, making sure that everything you say is exactly what it is. I mean, even the other day on Rogan, I got people pushing back on me because they'll be like, well, Dave, you said there was a formal treaty that said that NATO wouldn't move eastward at all. And I'm like, no, go listen to what I said. I said that Russia received assurances, both verbal and in writing. That's what I said, and that's true, and I can fucking prove that, because I was very careful about what I said exactly, because I know that when you're taking these controversial opinions, you got to be fucking perfect. You know what I mean? And if you're not, they're gonna hammer you for where you said something wrong, and then fucking you. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I fuck up sometimes too. But there's really all this pressure. But when you're just defending the vaccine, You could just be like, fucking go for it. Say whatever you want. Way overstate your case. No, you know there's no ramifications for that whatsoever. I mean, maybe someone will call you out, but no, never is like a big, powerful company like YouTube or Google or Twitter or anything like that going to like come down on you for that. No chance. Just fucking say it. You can't die if you get the vaccine. We all know that, you know, even though there's been tons of people who have died from COVID after getting the vaccine. It's just a fact. And so it's a, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to see the way that dynamic plays out. Now, the advantage, I guess, to that is that we are much sharper than they are because of that. You know what I mean? So we're always kind of like trying to, as best we can, really be on point and really on our game. And whereas they suffer from a lot more atrophy because they're just like, well, whatever, I'll just say the sloppiest thing. Anyway, there is something interesting. And especially for all of the people who claim that putting stuff online one way or the other, that's like misinformation is unfair. That's an attack on democracy because it's skewing the results of what people would vote for. And yet you go, but okay, but censoring or at least demonetizing in this case, just the words of the other side, just reminding people like, hey, this is what all the Democrats said the last time a Republican won. That is somehow like, that's just what we all got to accept as reality. It's a very Orwellian world that we're living through. At least for now, though, it's if you're not one of the people on the other end of the government guns, it's kind of a soft Orwellian world. You know, you're being demonetized, not locked in jail for now. Although I guess some of Trump's friends might be on the, they might actually be getting locked in jail. But anyway, all right. Let's wrap up the episode on that. All right. That's a good one. Go check out Robbie the Fire this weekend. Where is that again, Rob? What's the name of the venue?
Perryville, Maryland, Fifth Company Brewing, fan of the show. Got a wall of beers. I'm excited for it. And of course, check out Run Your Mouth podcast 3-4 times a week, daily briefings. Good stuff.
Hell yeah. Me and Rob will be out in Poughkeepsie, New York, November 25th and 26th. Laugh it up. I'll be at the Comedy Store New Year's Eve with my brother, Louis J. Gomez. And yeah, catch us next time. Peace.